You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, March 1st. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Markers. The message focuses on Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and is entitled, A Flame That Reveals.
So this is one of those Sunday mornings where you kind of reevaluate the plan as you're beginning. And I think one of the things that I'm just so grateful for, and Rick and choir, thank you. We can be led, we can hear proclamation, we can hear good news in prayer, in reading, but we also hear it in music, and you all have proclaimed. I mean, I feel like we could take up an offering, we could be done. So in that vein, I'm going to be brief with my comments this morning, and I'm sure you're probably thinking to yourself, yes. But then we're going to gather around the table. And, you know, this is such an intimate group. Maybe what we could do is actually physically gather around the table together. But before we do that, let's hear a few words from God's Word. The passage for this morning is Exodus 3. And in Lent, in the season of Lent, we are walking through the stories of the book of Exodus. And in that book, we find that there are six main markers. Six markers that help us make sense of things, of our lives. They are markers that God's people, the Israelites, saw as they were journeying from Egypt and their enslavement in Egypt to freedom, to the promised land. Last week we looked at the river, the Nile, and how the river is this symbol of how God, even before we can think about God, God is already leading us through the circumstances of our lives. And that it's not just enough for us to get from point A to point B. And sometimes I feel like as a parent, that's kind of my job, is just getting my kids from point A to point B. But just getting from point A to point B is not enough. God wants to show us more. And today, we are going to look at Exodus 3, where we see this flame, this fire, this burning bush, and find out how this helps us make sense of the circumstances of our lives. And so, if you would join me, you can stay right where you're seated. I'm going to read the passage, make just a few brief comments, and then I'm going to read the first few verses, and then comment, and then come back and read the rest of the passage. So we're reading Exodus 3, starting with verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take off your sandals off of your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at him. Sometimes in our lives, God gets our attention to reveal God's intention. God gets our attention to reveal God's intention. Just a few comments on where Moses is right now. Moses is right now is in a desolate place. Something happened a little bit earlier where Moses was defending one of the Israelites from an Egyptian taskmaster, and he he committed a crime. He killed an Egyptian taxmaster, and so now Moses is on the run. He has fled to the land of Midian, and now if you look at a map of the Middle East, Midian is that area of land just west of the just east of Iraq, and it's actually Saudi Arabia, present-day Saudi Arabia. That's where Moses is. And Moses is on the run. And for 40 years, Moses is in this sort of desolate place. He's in this difficult place. But the good news in this situation is that Moses, in the midst of his fleeing, in the midst of his being on the run, he meets his wife. He meets a woman named Zipporah and his father-in-law, Jethro, who's a Midianite priest. And it's in Midian that he takes up the task of shepherding. He is keeping his flocks. And our text today says that Moses is keeping his flocks in a faraway land. We know that he is far away from his home in Midian, and he is keeping his sheep to graze, to help them find grass. Now, this must be a difficult situation. Moses was raised in Egypt. He was raised in the best of circumstances, the best education, the best food, the best living conditions, and now he is off grazing sheep in the wilderness. And he must be thinking to himself, what is going on here? Why am I here? I think there are times in our lives where God leads us through difficult situations to get our attention. Maybe we've spent time tending our sheep in the land of Midian. Maybe you have done your job in a place where it feels like a wilderness. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you've tried to make sense of what was going on, and it was difficult. Difficult to figure out why things were happening, why it was happening this way, or what was going on. How can I make sense of this thing that I'm going through right now? Maybe you've journeyed through Midian. Maybe you've journeyed through this wilderness. Maybe you've pitched your tent in this wilderness. Interestingly, there's another translation for this place, this wilderness. It's actually translated, I don't know if you knew this, it's actually translated Ohio. Sorry to any Ohio folks around, if anyone is. But God brings Moses to a place called Horeb. And God gets Moses' attention. Has anyone here ever seen a burning bush? Anyone ever had God get their attention with a burning bush? I haven't. Any of you have? But the interesting thing here about this bush is God doesn't say, or the book doesn't say, that it's a special, magical bush. He just says this is a regular old, run-of-the-mill tree, bush thing. And yet God is using this ordinary thing, this ordinary place, to do something extraordinary. I'm trying to kind of move through this more quickly, and so I apologize if there are little long pauses. I'm just trying to kind of expedite this sermon. Once God has Moses' attention, that's when this scene gets interesting. You see, it's when we begin to interpret these events of our life, where we get a chance to have the opportunity to look at them in light of what God's purposes are. We see in the mundane encounters divine opportunity. There's nothing too small, nothing too insignificant, nothing too commonplace that God can't use to get our attention, that God can't set ablaze with holy significance and holy purpose. And so now that God has Moses' attention with this bush that's on fire but's not being consumed, God says to Moses this, and I'm going to pick up in Exodus 3, verse 7. I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Wabashites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come up to me, and I have heard and seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people out, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go down, I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Israel, out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I will be remembered throughout all generations. God has qualified Moses to be used for God's purposes. You see, in Moses' background, one of the things that we learn about him is that not only did he kill the Egyptian slave master who was abusing one of his Israelites, but he also saved a young woman at a well who was being taken advantage of by some Egyptian shepherds. And so one of the things that we learn about Moses from his life is he has a passion for justice. Moses wants to see justice enacted in the places where he lives. And so he does things. He takes things into his own hands. Moses uses his skills for God's purposes. And yet, in a way that Moses doesn't realize yet, this isn't the purpose. This isn't how God is going to accomplish what he has planned. The text doesn't say that God said to Moses, you are qualified. The answer that the text gives, what Moses learns, is that God says, I will be with you. It's not because of your skills, Moses, that I'm going to do this. It's that I am going to do this, and I will be with you. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with God. I want to draw you into this relationship with me so that we can draw the people into relationship with me, and so that together we can draw the whole world into relationship with God, with me. Moses is thinking, yeah, but who is this me? Who are you? Who should I say is saying all these things? Who is it? To whom am I speaking exactly? And at this moment, we see this great example of God revealing himself. He says, I am sending you. This is one of the most profound experiences of revelation in the Bible. And what I think God is saying here is that when we go into the places of our lives where there's crisis, where there's desolation, where there's challenge, where we're faced with a difficult decision, what God wants us to hear in all of this, when God says, I am sending, or I am who I am. What he wants us to hear is, I am who I am in the midst of the crisis that you are going through. I am with you in whatever thing you face. I am. I will be. Moses, when you go back to your people and you say to Pharaoh, let them go and deliver them with a mighty sign and wonders, then you're going to know what it means that I am was with you. When you do this thing, you're going to know that I am with you. It's in the context of relationships. This entire story is about Moses seeing clearly that I am is with him. Through his sufferings, through the sufferings of Israel, I am with him. I am with them. I am about to do something amazing. It might be something that calls us to make a drastic change in our life. It might be something as simple as allowing God to give you comfort when you're anxious. In the midst of whatever you're facing, I am is with you. So, just in closing, what I want to ask is, where is God trying to get your attention? Where might God be inviting you to assess your strengths? Where might God be inviting you to see your gifts, to see your passions, and then allow God to work through them? That in the midst of whatever crisis or whatever it is we're facing, God will be who he is in the midst of whatever it is we're facing. I know what you're going through. I know the hopes and the struggles, and I have given you a name that you can use. It's I am. I am with you. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you give us this marker. This burning bush, this everyday reminder of your faithfulness, of your call over our lives. Help us to trust, help us to follow, help us to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.